when God called Peter to step out of the boat, he just told him, step out of the boat. He didn't tell him, look over the edge, figure out how you're going to walk on water, how you're going to make it happen, and then walk over to me. He just said, take the step. I'll take care of the rest. And
that's right.
I had to learn to take that step, and he has taken care of all the rest.
Yes. Many times when God calls us to be obedient to his calling, it may not make sense to us, but he's asking us to obey. Welcome to episode number 2 of the Catalytic Podcast. I had the honor of interviewing Brian Gandy of the Global Training Network. We had a fantastic interview and a fantastic time together. I'm so glad that you're able to join us for this, the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. We read in Matthew 24, Jesus' words, that this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. But Jesus needs you as a Christian to become equipped for this work. Welcome to the Catalytic Podcast, a ministry resource of 1-8 Catalysts. This podcast exists to give you practical and easy-to-remember tools toward spiritual growth that leads to Great Commission fulfillment. We'll also have interesting interviews of people who have walked the journey towards Great Commission fulfillment, and we'll be able to hear their stories. And now it's time for the Catalytic Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for this, the second episode of the Catalytic Podcast. Again, my name is Mike Falkenstein. I am the host of the podcast, and I'm so glad that you are with us for this, the very first interview episode of the podcast. And, you know, I was just thinking, as I was thinking about sort of how this podcast all came together, you know, we have a heart to use this podcast to break down in the simplest terms how to find Great Commission fulfillment. And one of the things, as God was putting all of this together, that became really apparent is that we needed to do interview episodes. And there's one just really good reason for that. In the same way that I would advocate for all Christians to know how to share their testimony, that is the story of how they came to know Christ as their Lord and Savior, an interview in the ways that we want to use this podcast, or for the purposes that we want to use for this podcast, can have a similar effect. So the reason that a testimony is so powerful is that it is your story, right? It is the story of how you went from unbelief in Jesus to discovering Jesus to becoming a Christian and accepting him as your Lord and Savior. And so in the same way, as we want to show you in the simplest ways how to find Great Commission fulfillment, it is really true that an interview of people who are either in ministry or people that have found Great Commission fulfillment in one way or another can really have the same effect. So today I have the distinct honor of interviewing Brian Gandy, who I've known for the last couple of years, got to know him at a missions conference out in South Carolina, and this is a good interview. I'm really glad that you're with me because I think you're really going to enjoy it. And so Brian Gandy actually is on staff with a ministry called Global Training Network. And so he talks a little bit about Global Training Network and what that is. So I won't get into too much detail, but boy, this is a guy that was a truck driver for 25 years. God began to call him into full-time ministry, and now he's doing all kinds of cool ministry things in South Asia. And so to go from truck driver to training leaders in South Asia, that's pretty compelling. And I think you'll agree when you hear the interview. So thank you so much for joining me. Let's go right to the interview. And when this interview is over, I may say a few couple of words at the end. Thank you so much. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. We've got an interview episode, and I'm so glad to be able to be with Brian Gandy today. And Brian, I think you and I have met each other through the First Baptist Church of North Spartanburg Missions Conference. That's over right. The last couple of years. And it's been so great to track with you. And it's fun that now the some of the people that we now have common people that we know in missions. And I've just been so thankful to be able to know you and now to be able to have you on the podcast. I'm wondering, before we get into our questions, give folks a little bit about just a minute or two about who you are, you and your wife, your ministry. I know you serve with a ministry called Global Training Network. Give folks just kind of an inside look at who you all are and about your ministry.
Great. Thank you for having me. Global Training Network is a group of men and women who have a desire to train up indigenous pastors and encourage pastors who are lacking the ability to go get formal theological training. So we travel around the world and we train village pastors is what our primary focus is. And we train them in like how to interpret their Bible, how to prepare messages, how to disciple other Christians. And we find that many times in a village setting, a man will get saved and then he will go and start a church after about 3 or 4 months in another village. And so this lack of training perpetuates itself. And so what we do is we go in and try and fill that gap to give them some proper theological training and to where they can then raise up men who can then train other faithful men, kind of the 2 Timothy 2:2 model.
That's right. And,
so Global Training Network is made up a lot of old retired pastors, some younger guys, some most of us older guys, but not even all of them are pastors. Some of them are retired accountants and engineers. And if you think about it, most everybody who's been in church here in America for any length of time would have more theological training than a village pastor has had throughout his whole ministry.
Wow, that's great. And I know from my experience in rural China, that's really the same thing. And part of what I always pull from that is people involved in that are not technically seminary trained. Or again, if you know, if you've sat through a lot of sermons in the U.S. and you have a good basis and you are in your Bible, you can be involved in this.
Yes, exactly. And so that's what we do. We travel around the world. We're operating, I believe it's about 75 countries. My primary focus is South Asia, and I've got a little bit of work going on in Southeast Asia, and I'll be adding Africa to my list of continents and such this later on this year, Lord willing.
That's awesome. That's really great. And it's fun to see God opening new doors like that. And that's really great. So I'm interested, Brian, today. I think the as you've heard some of the previous episodes of the podcast, really what we're trying to do here is break down in the most simplest terms how people can find Great Commission fulfillment. And so for someone like you who has gone from, yes, I know Jesus loves me, to actually, you know, being involved in his work, give us first a little bit background of how you came to know Christ and how you felt a call into full-time ministry.
Great. I was raised in a Christian home. My father was a pastor when I was young. He had to leave the ministry to be able to feed his growing family. And so I made a profession of faith in a little small church in Phoenix, Arizona, when I was about 7 years old. But when I was 22, I realized I had walked away from the church and walked away from my faith. And when I started going to church again, I realized that what I was lacking was an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And so at the age of 22 in 1983, I gave my life to Christ, and I went about my life as any other normal believer. I started driving a truck, ended up driving a truck for 25 years. About the year 2000, the Lord called me to go into full-time ministry. I argued with him about that because I was not the guy who was qualified to do that. Barely graduated from high school, had no college education. But as with all of my arguments with God, he wins those. And so I said, well, I can't do it. And he said to my heart, I'm not looking for somebody who can do it. I'm looking for somebody who's available.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I can be available. So I started studying the Bible. I continued driving my truck for 6 years as I studied the Bible, studied theological books, and my truck became my mobile school of ministry. And then in 2006, the Lord told me to sell my truck, my trailer, and start volunteering at a local church. And so I started volunteering. Then they put me on staff. They ordained me. And in that process, God called me to go to South Asia. I went to South Asia for the first time, not knowing what to do, where to go. And the Lord made a path for that. And what I saw was a need for village pastors to be trained. God continued to move my heart in that direction to where in 2015, I resigned my pastoral position here in Phoenix to focus on training village pastors in South Asia.
Wow, that's great. And so so it sounds like your truck and your trailer, you owned that. So that was your primary means of making a living. And so I'm sure to sell all of that, that was a pretty big deal, I'm sure.
Yeah, that I owned my own business, and you know, it was a pretty substantial, you know, pay cut. But where the Lord calls, he makes the way. And even when he called me to step away from full-time ministry and a full-time paycheck, he's always made a way and provided for us every step along the way.
That's great. And so that does lead us to the next question I have for you. So I'm going to ask part of it now, and then we'll take a quick break, and then we'll ask the rest after. But give people an idea of kind of what just was going on in your mind as you were feeling like God was calling you to, because you said you wrestled with God on this decision, right? And so you could have continued to resist, I guess. Of course, God has a way to continue to persist on the other side when he's trying to tell you something. But I'm curious on, just bring people into that particular part of your journey and how you finally went from, okay, God, I surrender to you. I may not feel qualified to do this, but I'll do it if this is something you've called me to do.
Great question. God has a sense of humor. So he takes this this young man out of a fundamentalist background and puts me in more of a more free style of worship type of church.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that process, I saw people who were listening for the Lord, and that intrigued me because I hadn't ever experienced anything like that. And so I remember going out on a day of prayer with a group of men, and we would pray for each other, and then we'd go aside and pray by ourselves or read scripture or read a book. And before I left for that day of prayer, I prayed, Lord, I want to learn to hear your voice. And so as I was praying and reading a book, the Lord just kind of spoke to my heart and said, hey, give this book to that man over there. And so I argue with God, and I haven't finished reading the book, and I'll give it to him when I'm done. And he says, no, give him the book. And I said, well, I'll look silly. He says, yeah, you probably will. Go give him the book. And I said, okay, but I'll finish reading it first. And he really spoke to my heart at that time. And he said, you remember asking me to listen for my voice, being able to hear my voice? I said, yes. He goes, why should I talk to you if you're not going to do what I ask you to do?
That's right.
And so I said, okay, I'm sorry. And I went over and I gave that man the book. And then next time I went out for a day of prayer with a group of guys, and same thing happened. And I had the same argument, and he said the same thing to me. I ended up giving that book away 8 times before I finally learned to just listen and be obedient the first time, even if I don't understand it, even if I don't know what his purpose is. If I'm going to listen to his voice, I need to trust him when he does speak. And so from that beginning all the way up to wrestling with God and him saying, okay, I'll take care of everything if you will just be available. Then I knew that was his voice and I could step out. Then when it came time to leave the church, hearing his voice was just a natural thing because it had started years before with giving a book away.
Wow. That is such a great story. That is so great. And it is true that sometimes as he asks us to be obedient, it doesn't make sense to us, but it doesn't need to, right? we just need to be obedient.
And that, you know, when the Lord was telling me to resign my position at the church, what just kept, when God called Peter to step out of the boat, he just told him, step out of the boat. He didn't tell him, look over the edge, figure out how you're going to walk on water, how you're going to make it happen, and then walk over to me. He just said, take the step. I'll take care of the rest. Mm. And
that's right.
I had to learn to take that step, and he has taken care of all the rest.
Wow. Well, that's it's a great place for us to take our break. So let me just, let's just step aside for a minute and let our friend Tom Mueller say a few words. And then I've got a few more key questions for you, Brian, right when we get back.
At 1-8 Catalyst, we have a deep heart to create resources to help you find great commission fulfillment. Our latest book resource is titled, What You Do Shows Who You Are, a book on the 6 marks of a disciple of Jesus. We believe that this book is a great way for you to grow spiritually and then take that growth and share it with others. Intended to be a small group or Sunday school class study, we believe that spiritual growth happens best as you work through each of the 6 marks with a group of other believers. Be sure to get a copy for each of the folks in your small group today. Available on Amazon.com.
Well, folks, thank you so much for being with us on this episode of the Catalytic Podcast. Thank you so much. And again, I am with Brian Gandy. And Brian, you were just saying before our break about, we were just talking about being obedient to God's voice, even when it doesn't make sense to us. And I'm wondering, maybe what folks might be interested in is, you know, I've heard a lot of missions researchers say that many, many Christians feel like God has called them to do a particular ministry or do a particular thing or begin to reach their neighbors, but they are afraid that it will cause them to step out of their comfort zone too much. Or, you know, as the missions researcher Ralph Winter, who started and founded the U.S. Center for World Missions, I believe, who said that it's something like, you know, 1 out of 1,000 Christians who feel God's call to, you know, some kind of ministry actually follow through on it. And at the time, his call was, man, if we could get to 2 out of 1,000, imagine, you know, how many more people would be reached for Christ. And so, of course, I think the 1,998 who didn't, you know, so for those that are listening who are saying, man, Brian, your story is resonating with me. There's something there. What would your encouragement to be to them for someone who feels God is calling them in a particular way, but they feel like, man, it's just going to cost too much, or it's going to, you know, it's going to take me out of my comfort zone too much. What would your encouragement to them be today?
Well, a lot of times when I talk to people who are thinking the Lord has them, even going on a short-term mission trip, they'll say, but I have to raise the money. I don't know that I have that kind of money. And I've given them the example of, if I was in the Army and the general came to me and said, Brian, I want you to go overseas and I've got a mission for you to do. And here's what I want you to do while you're there. And then I want you to come back and report to me everything that happened while you were there. And I would be arrested and court-martialed if I stood there with my hand out and said, okay, but I'm not moving until you put all the money in my hand that I need to go and return. That's not the job of the soldier. The job of the soldier is to obey the general and go. The job of the general is to pay for the trip. So if God calls you to go, it's God's bill. It's his responsibility to pay for it. So sometimes the price is, like you said, I'm going to get out of my comfort zone. Yeah, you will. But God was not really big on comfort zones. I haven't found any place where he said, stay in your comfort zone and don't say anything to anybody because they might reject you. We're called to go and share the good news. Will everybody accept? No. And if you go into it knowing that, and that your job is not to convert people, your job is to share the love of Jesus Christ with them and tell them of the opportunity. God's job is to bring in the harvest. So the responsibility is not yours for the results. The responsibility that you have is just to be faithful.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And then you just leave the rest to God, right?
Exactly. And you don't choose which ones deserve to have the gospel. That's not your job. Your job is to just be faithful and go where God tells you to go, listening for his voice, telling, you know, when he says go, you go. And when he says, oh, don't go there, then you don't go there.
That's right. Yeah, that reminds me of, and I'm sure you're familiar with it, but the story of one of the pioneer missionaries, William Carey. And,
yes,
you know, William Carey, and he was there for, I believe it was 7 years before he saw his first convert. Yep. And I often think about those 7 years. Oh my gosh. And the in those days, you know, it was, I mean, when we talk about pioneer missionaries, it was, that had to have been rough for him. And you know, talk about being out of his comfort zone. He had no comfort zone, I'm sure, for a long time when he was first went. And to think about the, you know, his prayers and what he was going through, and the even potentially the mental anguish of, God, I know you've called me to come here, but you think about after 6 years and to not see any fruit, he had to have, you know, some thoughts about, hey, maybe this is just not it. Maybe I heard God wrong, or, you know, I mean, for him to stick with it that for that long. And it's really incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. And realizing he had to take a boat to get from England to India, and it was anywhere from a 3 to 6 month trip. And I think he lost two wives,
a couple wives. Yeah.
In the process. And, you know, he didn't have Skype. He didn't have Zoom. He didn't have email. Everything would take 3 to 6 months to get communication back and forth. And so he couldn't just hop on an airplane and in a day be around the world. And we have those conveniences now.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Okay. So final question for me, for you is, you know, with our ministry, with 1A Catalyst, we really are trying hard in the Western Church in particular, because as you and I were just talking before we began recording our interview, I think it is the Western Church that has the best sort of the, you know, it's best set up, if you will, to to reach unreached people groups. And so I'm wondering, from your perspective, what is the number one thing, if there are church leaders that are listening, that they could do to enable their congregations to, you know, not only to become fully devoted followers, but then ones that are bearing fruit for Christ that would lead to more, you know, workers on the field, both domestic and foreign? What would kind of be your advice to them to enable their congregations to really get in the game in terms of what we're talking about today?
I think changing their focus would be the best way to go. Churches here, and I'll just say specifically here in America, just because this is my culture, my context.
Right.
We are very, very inward focused, and it takes a change in the DNA of the heart of the pastor to change that focus from being all about the Sunday morning experience to all about how can we mobilize people to go, even for short term? And that would take a concerted effort over a long period of time, much like what First Baptist North Spartanburg has done. They've cultivated that culture of hey, we're going to celebrate what God is doing all around the world and not be as focused on our Sunday morning experience, although that's important, but then also using that as a platform to then point people to go.
Mm, that's right. That's right. And I've heard sort of the opposite of in some reading I've done in particular that, you know, if your senior pastor does not really have a heart for missions or outreach, you can do any kind of grassroots thing to try to be able to, you know, drum that up, but it's probably not going to happen. So
exactly.
It really does start with the pastor and the elders and their heart for this, doesn't it?
It does. It does. You can have somebody who is passionate about missions at a lower level, but if it does at the top, it's just not going to be promoted. People will catch what the pastor is passionate about, and unless there is that passion for global engagement, it's just not going to happen.
That's right. And so as you're talking, Brian, I think, boy, the prayer request for Western churches would be then for these senior pastors, right, to catch the heart for this, because, you know, I've always sort of breaks my heart a lot. So be praying for those pastors. So, Brian, thank you so much for joining me for the podcast. It's been such a fantastic time. We're going to definitely have to have you on again. And it's just been a great conversation. I'm wondering, before we go, give folks an idea of if they want to get in touch with, learn more about what you do with Global Training Network and about the Global Training Network in particular, what are the best ways for people to do that?
Best way to find out about Global Training Network is to go to our website. That is, and it's all spelled out, globaltrainingnetwork.org. I know that's a long web address to put in there. And if you go to who we are, scroll down through the staff, you'll find a picture of my wife and I. There's a link there to our ministry. And we would love to talk with you, chat with you. You can get a hold of me on Facebook and Twitter, Instagram. I'm pretty much everywhere.
That's great.
So look for Brian Gandy. I think I have colored egg lights on my Facebook page.
Okay.
Don't have a photo of myself, and I do that specifically for certain reasons. But
right. Okay, great. Well, that's great. Well, I would just encourage anyone listening to get in touch with Brian. And I know from experience in China that the rural church just needs rural church globally, particularly in these either third world or, you know, areas where the gospel is not as prevalent. That's just key work. So I really appreciate what you do, Brian. And yeah, thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate you, and I appreciate your podcast. What a great opportunity to excite people about being globally minded. So thank you for doing what you do.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me for this, the second episode of the Catalytic Podcast. A big thank you again to Brian Gandy. And Brian, look forward to continuing to cooperate with you in any number of ways. Again, if you want to learn more about 1-8 Catalyst, please go to our website at 1-8catalyst.org. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram as well. Also, as always, if you have any questions, any show ideas, we do have a request line, 303-335-9658. That's 303-335-9658. And if you have a show idea, we might even use it and mention your name in the process. So thank you again, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm looking forward to having you on the third episode of the Catalytic Podcast. Thank you for joining me for the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. For more information, be sure to visit our website at 1-8catalyst.org. And never forget, the Great Commission is a command that Jesus gave you as a Christian to obey. I'll be praying for you that you find your part in it. See you next time.